Before we get into the message today, we have several guests that are here today, and we just want to let you know we are so honored to have you in our service. Absolutely honored. Let's give all of our guests a great big hand. Amen. And how cool it is for you as a guest that you showed up out of all the churches in the world. You showed up to the greatest church in the whole world today. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We're glad to have you. We're glad to have you. We've been talking the last few services about the authority of God's word. Somebody say the authority of God's word. Amen. You will not have needed to have been here the last several weeks to understand the message today. It will stand alone by itself, but we want to talk about the authority of God's word. There is a story in scripture, we referenced it a few weeks ago, but there's a story in scripture of a spiritual confrontation that was taking place between the prophets of Baal and the prophet of Elijah. You can read about it in 1 Kings. The prophets of Baal and the prophet of Elijah, were in order to see whose God was the one true living God. They would both offer up a sacrifice unto their God. And the God that would answer with fire and cause fire to fall from the heavens and consume the sacrifice, whichever one of their gods would do that, would in fact be the one true living God. And after the prophets of Baal chanted and sang and danced and cut themselves for hour after hour without even a hint of their God showing up, it was then Elijah's turn. The scripture says that Elijah repaired the altar. He rebuilt it with stones. He got some wood and he laid it in order on the altar, and he placed the sacrifice on the altar. He covered the sacrifice with water. Then he had him do it again and again. And then he prayed. And this is what he prayed. 1 Kings 18 and verse 36. 1 Kings 18 and verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, then Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Immediately after he gets done praying, the windows of heaven open up, and fire falls from the heavens. It consumes the sacrifice. It consumes the wood. It consumes the water. And it even consumes the stones that were there. But here is what I want us to get. In the simple point, but here's what I want us to understand. In the natural order of things, you do not get fire to fall from heaven just because you build an altar with some stones and some wood. So there was nothing that he was doing physically that had the ability to draw fire from heaven. But the thing that caused the miraculous fire of God to fall on that place was the fact that what Elijah was doing, he was doing out of obedience to the word of the Lord. Somebody said amen. The miraculous happened because of his obedience to the word of God. We leave the Old Testament and we enter into the New Testament. And it is here that we find an angel of the Lord appearing before a virgin by the name of Mary in order to inform her that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, God with us. And this is how Mary responds. Watch now. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? I think if we were her, we would have asked the same question. Seeing I know not a man, I'm a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Somebody shout nothing. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now watch what Mary says, verse 38. And Mary said, back in response to the statement of nothing being impossible, she responds back and says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Ready? Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to whatever your word has promised. Understand, realistically, this does not make sense at all. For there is no way that a virgin can give birth to a child. The mere thought of this actually happening was so far-fetched as to be most unbelievable. And yet the miracle absolutely happened. And Jesus was absolutely born of a virgin. All because Mary was willing to get to the place in her life where she could say, be it unto me according to thy word. I know it's crazy, but I wouldn't even believe it unless an angel spoke to me about it. But be it unto me according to thy word. I know that no one else could even remotely imagine that this kind of thing could actually take place. But be it to me, nevertheless, be it to me according to whatever your word is. And the moment that she got to the place where she could say those words was the moment that the miracle began to be fulfilled in her life. Why? Because the miraculous will happen when we get to the point and get to the place where we can submit to the word of God and understand that there is an authority attached to the word of God. And when we say, be it unto me according to whatever your word says, the authority that rests upon that word is going to move into my life and into my heart and into my dilemma, and the authority of his word is going to bring with it power, and it is going to bring with it an anointing, and it is going to bring with it a breaking in the spirit. I wonder if there's anybody in the house that can get to the place in your own life where you say, be it unto me according to thy word. Come on, put your hands together, give him praise. Oh. You may be seated, and I'll take you to the ministry of this Jesus who was born of Mary. We pick up his story, portion of it, in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Luke 5, verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled, we have worked all night long. We have fished all night long and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets began to break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships with fish, so much so that they began to sink. Again, I want you to notice that there was no earthly reason why those fish should have been there. Those veteran fishermen, they fished since they were old enough to get on a boat, probably, but before they were even be able to walk, they were out on a boat. These veteran fishermen that knew the tides, they knew the movements of the fish, they knew how the sun would affect it all and the weather would affect it all. They knew where the fish would be. And these veteran fishermen that had fished all night long and had caught absolutely nothing. And now Jesus was telling them to let down their nets during the hottest part of the day when the fishing would have been the worst. There was no way this was going to work. There was no way the fish were going to be there. There was no way this method was going to be successful. And yet at his word, nevertheless, at thy word, they let down their nets. And they caught so many fish that the weight of them all began to sink their boat. And yet again we find the fact that the miraculous happens because of their obedience to the word of God. Here's what I want you to see from the stories in which we have spoken of in the first part of our message. All signs pointed towards failure. All signs pointed towards futility. All signs pointed towards an impossibility. Yet. In response to one's obedience to the word of God, we find a virgin giving birth to a child, and we find a mere man calling fire down from heaven, and we find fishermen catching fish when none should have been caught. Oh, at thy word. As we continue reading the word, we find entire city walls, many feet thick, crashing down to the ground, not because of some new form of weaponry, and not because of some new military tactic, but these walls that should have been impenetrable came crashing down to the ground at Jericho because a group of people decided to be obedient to the word of the Lord and just walk around them a few times. We find leprous men being made absolutely clean by simply being obedient to the word of the Lord and heading to the office of the priest in order to show forth their miracle even before their miracle had even taken place. Why would you go to the priest and tell him you've been cleansed when you still got leprosy? I'm just doing what the man told me to do. I'm just doing what Jesus told me to do. His word told me to do it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. And don't you know, before they ever stepped foot into the temple to make themselves known to the priest, that they were absolutely healed. They were absolutely made whole. Why? Because the miraculous will flow when an individual decides, nevertheless, at thy word. We find miracle after miracle. We find supernatural event after supernatural event taking place in the lives and in the hearts of mankind when they decided to put their faith in the authority of the word of God. I've come to preach today. I've come to preach that there are some miracles present in this very room that'll be experienced the moment someone decides to put your faith in the authority of the Word of God. Who in this room is going to step out in faith on a promise that you have found in this book, even though everything else is pointing towards the contrary? Who am I preaching to right now? Who is it in this room that's going to believe God for the miracle, even though it looks darker today than it has ever looked in your life? Come on, it's one thing to know the word has an authority. It's another thing for the authority to work and move and operate in your life. I know it looks like, Mary, I know what you're talking about. It looks impossible. It looks like it can't happen. But do we have anybody in the house who would be willing to shout out in faith, nevertheless, at thy word? God, I've got more lack than I have excess. But your word says that you're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. So I'm going to say, nevertheless, at thy word. I'm going to put my faith not in what I don't have, but I'm going to put my faith in who I have. I'm going to put my faith in the God that cannot fail. Nevertheless, God, I know I can't see any way out of my predicament that I find myself in, but your word says that you can make a way where there seems to be no way. So that's what I'm going to put my trust in. Nevertheless, at thy word. The pain seems to be intensifying. Nevertheless, at thy word, the struggle is bringing me to my breaking point. Nevertheless, at thy word, my night season is longer than it's ever been. Nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, doesn't matter what it looks like. Nevertheless, doesn't matter what I'm facing. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter the storm. Nevertheless, I know what the book says. I know what the word says. I got a word from the Lord, and my word is bigger than my issue. My word is bigger than my problem. My word is bigger than my disease. My word is bigger than my dilemma. Come on, if you believe that, put your hands together. Nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. My enemies are shouting one thing, but the book is shouting something different altogether. I want to know whose shout is loudest in your life. Whose voice are you allowing to speak the loudest? Well, it's over. It's done. I've been forsaken. It's hopeless. 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 That's all you hear. And that's the voice that is loudest in your life. But I've come to tell somebody The devil's reminding you of everything you don't have. But the book is trying to remind you of everything you do have. My adversary is telling me that I can't. But this book is telling me that I can do all things. The antagonist of my soul is telling me that he's coming against me like a flood. But the book is telling me that God is going to raise up a standard against him. The opposition is telling me that weeping is going to last all night long. But the book is telling me joy is coming in the morning. Somebody needs to get a word. Somebody needs to get a word and then shout, nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless. I know it's dark, but nevertheless. Come on, put your hands together, give him praise. Pastor, it hasn't happened yet. Nevertheless, that God told me he was going to do it and he hasn't done it yet. Nevertheless, it's getting worse instead of better. Nevertheless, you got to get a word. You've got to get a word from the Lord. You got to get into this book. You have to understand the promises that are in this book. And you got to dig into it until you get a promise for yourself. Nevertheless, I'm going to shout, nevertheless. Now watch this. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read of the story where the disciples were in the ship in the middle of a storm. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24. Brother Hawks talked about storms. Brother Hawks did an awesome job today. If you weren't here, you need to get the download of that. God used him mightily today. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24. Now watch. But the ship, all the disciples were in it, was now in the midst of the sea. They're in the middle of the storm. Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now watch. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. So when it says when they saw him, they saw something. But they didn't know it was him. They saw him. We know it was him. The writer's telling us it was him. But they didn't know it was him. They saw something. And they said, "I think it's a spirit." If they would have saw Jesus, they would have said, "That's Jesus." They knew what he looked like. It's a spirit. So now get this. The storm was raging, the wind was blowing, and the darkness coupled with the lashing of the rain obscured their vision of the Savior who was so close to them. The storm was so intense that they didn't really know for sure if Jesus was close to them or not. Anybody ever gone through a storm that was so intense that you really couldn't tell if Jesus was near you or not? Anybody ever gone through some things that so obscured your vision of the fact that Jesus was still right next to you? Come on, let's get real. Has anybody ever had to endure some rough times when you really couldn't see Jesus working, moving, operating in your life. But watch what Peter says next. Matthew 14 and 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, he still doesn't know, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he, Jesus, said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter was saying this, Lord, I cannot see you working anywhere in this mess. But if you'll just speak a word to me, then I know I can begin to walk in the miraculous. Lord, I don't need to see you working. I don't need to see you operating on my behalf, hear me, before I'll trust you. Just give me one word. That's all Peter got was one. Come. Go. Lord, give me another word. Now give me a sentence. Now write me a book. And then I'll do it. Think about it. There's a storm crashing around. There's waves. And he gets one word. He said, that's all I need. Jesus didn't explain to him how he was going to turn the molecular content of water into concrete and allow Peter to walk on it. Peter didn't say, how's this going to work? How are you going to do this? How's this going to happen? Just give me a word. One, I got, that's all I need. Boom. He steps out of the boat on one word. I don't need to see you working on my behalf before I trust you. Just give me a word. And that's all I'm going to need in order to know that you're bigger than my storm. Oh. Hear me, I want to help somebody right now. I've come to tell you that you need to stop waiting on to. Listen, stop waiting to take that step of faith until you can see Jesus moving on your behalf. And just get a word from the Lord. And then trust that that word is going to see you through the storm. Well, as soon as I see Jesus start moving, I'll move. As soon as I see Jesus start working, then I'll start work. As soon as I see his hand at work, then I'll step out in faith. Then I'll do it. No. You got to get a word. Even when you can't see. Oh. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice, it does not say that faith cometh by seeing. It says that faith cometh by hearing a word of God. The reason, I'm just going to teach now, but listen, the reason that some of us don't have the faith to believe that God can change us and heal us and work it out for us is because we are wanting to see God work instead of hear God speak. Brother Elijah, it is good. If you work and I see you working, then I'll step out in faith and believe it. Then I'll step out in faith on your word. Then I'll step out in faith on the promises that you have given me. You go ahead and start working it all out. And when I can see it starting to be made manifest, then I'll step out in faith on what you've already got halfway completed. God says, that's not how it works. Faith cometh by hearing, not by seeing. You see, there are too many apostolic believers, hear me, that are paralyzed at a certain decision of faith. Because they're wanting to see God work before they'll have the faith. And God's waiting on their faith before he works. I remember when I was a kid, we used to build these rope swings out in the woods. We build these, we go up 10, 15, 20 feet high and build a little platform. We tie, kids don't do this. Sorry, I started talking before I thought about it. You get permission. Do not do this at home. I was a trained professional. Sorry, parents. So we get up there and we'd have this rope and it was tied in the tree and you'd be standing on this ledge and you'd have that rope tied around your foot kind of like, and there was that moment. There was that moment when you could stay safe. You could stay safe or you could take that step. And there was a free fall of a few feet before that rope would catch and then it would swing you out. And you would go higher than you've ever gone. Yeah, I'm preaching. You see, and that's where somebody is right now. I feel to tell somebody. You are at this point right now. And you're right here. And God is trying to take you higher than he's ever taken you before. But in order to get there, you might have to free fall for a moment. You see, because it's in the free fall that tests whether or not you have faith. And the problem is that somebody's right here. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to somebody. You're right here and you're saying, God, work. If you'll work, I'll do it. Where are you, God? Where are you? As soon as I see you move, as soon as I see your hand, as soon as I see you working it, I'll step out. And God's saying, I'm not doing anything until you step out. And you're waiting on him, and he's waiting on you, and nothing's getting done. And you're staying at the same place when God wants to take you higher than you've ever gone before. You're paralyzed at this place because you're waiting to see God instead of just wanting to hear God. Somebody needs to understand the authority that rests upon this word so that when you get your word and you know that it is a word from the Lord, you don't need to say, okay, God, I heard your word. Now I need to see you. You just need to say, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. I don't have a clue how it's going to work, but I got a word. So here it goes. And the moment you step out is the moment something's going to catch. And then it's going to propel you into heights that you've never gone in before. And you're going to soar in dimensions of spirituality that you've never soared in before. And you're going to be so glad. You're going to be so glad that you have faith in a word and you didn't wait around to see God work. Oh, who am I talking to right now? Who am I talking to right now? It's all you need is a word. And if you know it's a word, and God will confirm it to you. Now listen, you shouldn't make God have to confirm it 37 times. But if it's a big deal, there's nothing wrong with getting confirmation. I don't think God minds that. Peter didn't ask for it, but, well, he was Peter. I don't think there's anything wrong. I do it all the time. Now, I don't want to miss my miracle because give it to me. Confirm it again. No. If you get a confirmation, you go ahead and step on out. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. He does. Well, when's it going to catch? I don't know. But he knows. But how's it going to work out? I don't know. But he knows. Oh. Sister Candy, awesome woman of God. You guys don't know the half of what she does. You see her playing the organ. That's like a tenth of what she does around here. She's here all the time. Probably should ask her before church instead of putting her on the spot, but I think she's okay with it. We have such a big vision here at this church. Such a big vision. And God began to deal with her and God began to talk to her about volunteering here at the church on a full-time basis. And quitting her job to come here in order to fulfill the vision that God has called us to fulfill. Now that's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So she prayed about it, talked to her husband, her authority agreed on it. They both talked to me. We talked about it. Felt good in the Holy Ghost. So she went into work and she quit her job. That wasn't just an emotional thing. She had a word from the Lord. I'm not telling everybody to go quit your job. Okay? It's going to be something different for everybody. But she had a word from the Lord. And we're sitting in the office talking, and her and Brother David, and they're like, you know what, Pastor? We don't know how the bills are going to get paid. We don't know where the money's going to come from. We don't know how he's going to work it all out. But he's never failed us. He's never failed us in the past, and he's not going to fail us now. Right here. You can be paralyzed and you can stay at that place and miss your miracle and miss what God wants you to do and never soar in the heights that God has promised you to soar in and called you to soar in. Or you can say, I know I got a word. I know I got a word, and I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to do what God told me to do. I don't need to see him working. I don't need him to pad my bank account before I step out in faith. I'm just going to step out in faith and do what he told me to do. Come on, put your hands together. Give him praise. Oh, I heard your voice. I don't have to see you working. I heard your voice. Last point and I'm done. Just a quick story. The Mark Morgan, great man of God, was preaching and I heard him tell this story. Sunday morning, he pastored a church, I believe it was in Oklahoma. Sunday morning, he said, man, God showed up in such a powerful way. He said, it was on. The presence of God was moving. People were shouting and dancing. Being blessed, talking in tongues all over that. He said it was awesome. In the middle of that, God spoke to him and said, I want you to get up and I want you to proclaim a healing service tonight. He said, and I want you to tell the people that everything, every sickness will be healed tonight. Brother Morgan was like, okay, well, you know, I got to make sure this is God. And God confirmed it to him. He said, you get up, you tell the people there's going to be a healing service tonight. He said, and I'm going to heal everything. So he gets up. Remember, place is going crazy, man. It was awesome. Power of God was moving. There was so much faith in that place. And he gets up and he says, church, I want to tell you something. Come back tonight. There's going to be a healing service. And God told me that he's going to heal everything in the building. So he's all excited. He's all pumped up. And the way he tells it, he said, there was a different church that showed up Sunday night than the one that was there Sunday morning. He said, Sunday morning, he said, you couldn't shut them up. Sunday morning, he said, you couldn't keep them down. He said, Sunday night, it was deader than a hammer. He said, they tried to sing. They tried to worship. He said, you couldn't get one thing to move. He said, you couldn't hardly feel God in that place. He said, it was dead. And he started questioning, did I hear a word from the Lord? It felt a whole lot better this morning. I had a whole lot more confidence in the word this morning. No power flowing, no life in the house. But he had a word from the Lord. So he gets done preaching. He said it was like pulling teeth, trying to get some response. He said it was dead. There was nothing moving. He said, but he had a word. So he told everybody, he said, well, I told you, God's going to heal everything in the house. In the back of his mind, he said, oh, my word. He said, if you've got a sickness in your body, he said, I want you to come and I want you to stand in a line right here down the middle aisle. So a bunch of people come, stood in a line in the middle of the aisle. So remember, now just get the feeling. It's dead. It's dry. There's nothing at all happening. And he said, he took a step down off the pulpit to go, and he was going to go pray for the first person. He looked down there and he said, it was this lady with Parkinson's disease. And she was shaking. Now, you know, in our flesh, you know, it's like, you know, God, why couldn't you made the first one a headache or something? You know? This lady, is, I mean, it's, you're going to know it or you're not going to know it. She's healed or she's not healed. She was shaking. And he was kind of wrestling with God. He's like, man, God. But he knew. He said, I had a word from the Lord. He said, I knew I had a word from God, even if it didn't look like it. So he stepped off that pulpit, and he was just struggling inside, struggling. And he started walking to that lady. He said, as he walked towards her, he said, he felt like what it would feel like if someone draped a coat over you. He said he physically felt it. And he said he heard God speak to him and said, you now have the gift of faith. He felt God. And so he walked. That lady was standing about right there. He didn't even get to her. Did not even touch her. All of a sudden, the power of God hit that woman. She started spinning around. She started dancing. And when she stopped, she stopped. She wasn't shaking anymore. There was no tremors in her hand. God absolutely healed that woman. Oh, somebody shout amen. But here's what was cool. Remember, there was a big line. He said, I didn't pray for one person. He said, after that lady stopped, he said, that power of God jumped from her to the next one, and that person got healed. When they stopped, it jumped to the next one, and that one got healed. Then that one, then that one, then that one. And everything in the house was healed that night. Why? Because somebody got a word from the Lord and was willing to step out in faith. Come on, stand to your feet right now. Come on, somebody give God praise. Somebody give God praise.